This is awesome.
Oh, fuck. Hey. Good to see you among the living, man. Check it out. It's the latest talent mix.
Thanks, Pete.
Good to see you all among the living. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talon Mix. It's a Smallville recap podcast. I'm Brian. Zach's here. Podcast time.
Are you ready to talk about Clark and his sad little birthday party?
Damn it. I mean, actually, I am. That was the most excited I was this whole episode.
At the sad little birthday party?
The sad little birthday party is the best part of the episode, I think. I love a sad little birthday party. Zach, man, we were talking... Sorry, go ahead.
No, we can get into it when the episode... We start trying doing the recap. I was just going to say, it's like they went out of their way to plan the saddest surprise party that you could imagine.
It's... Yep. Yeah. You're not wrong. Man, not to just start the podcast off on a bummer, but it's I think we're both hitting a pretty reasonable Smallville burnout of this episode and the next episode. Both I don't think are bad. I think they're actually pretty good episodes, and I don't care.
Yeah, I think I texted you. I can't tell if these are good or bad episodes.
Yeah.
Because I'm burnt out. I'm burnt out on Smallville.
Burnt out. And like, it's, I think they're pretty good. Here's the problem. It's not a new high, you know? It's,
right.
Yeah, this is good, but we've seen this level of good before. Oh, that scene was good, but we've seen better.
I mean, it is like this episode is the penultimate episode of the season, and it is definitely like, okay, things are happening now.
Right.
We're close enough to the end of the season, we can actually start moving some chess pieces around with a little more frequency. So stuff is happening.
Stuff's happening.
I can just tell, like, logically, this is decent storytelling. Like,
right.
I'm just tired.
I'm just tired. It's... Michael and Tom are not going to make it this far. Grow the fuck up. If you believe they're going to make it this far, you're a fucking child.
Oh, no, Brian, they are going to make it this far. If you listen to an episode, you would know the amount of ad money they're getting.
Yeah, right. And those $100 Patreon subscriptions.
It's like 50% ads, that show.
It's an hour ads. Show, and it's a lot of ads to hear two guys not remember a lot about filming an episode of Smallville.
and we say this as fans of those guys.
As fans who are disappointed with the recap podcast, I think it's fair to say. I think we're the ideal target demo, and gotta say, we got some notes.
It's good when they bring guests on,
yes,
who also worked on the show. Particularly the writers have a little more insight.
Yes.
Story beats and stuff.
Yeah. And their $100 Patreon. Their $100 Patreon. Just want to throw out there, our Patreon is $5, and we'll be the first ones to tell you, don't do it. That's a silly use of your money. Thank you, everyone who has. There's a link in the description to it.
It's much appreciated. The $100, I mean, I think there's tiers, but the $100 one is the one where they read your name aloud on.
Got
every single
it.
Episode ends with them reading off 100 names.
Got it. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm cringing.
Wow.
People at home,
wow. Cringing. Wow. All right. I guess we should get into this episode.
Because we looked into it because we wanted to abuse it.
We did want to abuse it. I still want to abuse it.
I disappeared for a second. Sorry if it's awkward.
It's all right.
I went
you're
away.
Back. You're back. You didn't disappear from me. You've been here the whole time. All right, guys. Oracle, it's the 21st episode in the 5th season of Smallville. It's the 109th episode overall. It aired May 4th, 2006. Oh, I was talking about the burnout, because I guess I should mention, we've talked about it before. We are going to take a break from Smallville after this season. We're going to finish the season. We're going to, this episode, it's another episode after this. We do our season wrap-up, and then we're going to do Batman for a couple of months, and we're both looking forward to it, big time. game.
We're going to do the Batman movies.
Yes, yes.
We did all the Superman movies except for the team-up ones. And right. Now we're going to do all the Batman movies, and then we're going to do the team-up movies and see if it kills Brian.
It will. It will. It will. But I think that's going to be a good palate cleanser. We've been watching Smallville once a week every week for a couple of years now. So we started doing this in 2020. And I think it'll be a good little break. It'll take us a couple months to get through all of them. So it's effectively going to be its own little season of the show. And I think it's going to be...
Even when I was watching it on the air... It wasn't every week. They took breaks in the middle of the season. You had right. 3 months off,
right.
You know, in the summertime.
right, you know, right.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
I think, right.
We are determined to finish this fucking podcast.
We're finishing
We
the
will
show.
Finish it. We will finish it.
We
so
will.
We just need a little break, recharge our batteries.
Right.
And then we'll be ready to go for season 6 in this terrible Lex-Lana relationship that we're going to have to live with. For that season.
Oh, I think it bothers me less than it bothers you, and I'm still like, oh. Okay, I'm going to hop into the recap here. I am, of course, reading directly from the Smallville wiki, smallville.fandom.com, on Clark's 19th birthday. This is a 27-year-old man. You
19.
Cannot give me specific ages here because I'm officially just in like 20s mode. He's supposed to be 19 years old. Get
this is his first year out of high school.
Fucked.
He's gonna be working like he's gonna be like a major contributor at the Daily Planet in like 2-3 years, Brian.
Son of a bitch. So it's Clark's 19th birthday. Martha, Lois, and Chloe give him the saddest surprise birthday party ever. It doesn't say saddest in there. That was an editorial addition. So I did like the bit with the cake. They present a cake. It's a Nietzsche cake. Blue frosting, red text on it. Oh, Lois made Clark a birthday cake, and it looks bad. It's slumped weird, and Clark is kind of a dick about it.
She made you a cake, bro. She took the time out of her day to make you something.
I don't care if
someone makes you something, it's like a little kid. You fucking hang that shit up.
A million
what I mean?
Percent. You nail that cake to your wall, Clark. Come on. My wife has teased me in the past. She has made me a cake or two for my birthday. And occasionally, making a cake, it's kind of hard. Occasionally, she's like, burnt the bottom, yada, yada. And I will still be like, no, it's great. I don't even say it. It's like, no, you don't have to. It's, please stop. Please stop. I'm not going to eat it. Please stop. And I'm like, this is great. This is my cake over
smart.
Because that's what you do. Because that's what you do when someone makes you a cake. You eat that fucking cake.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I
like if someone gets me a present and I already have it and they go, do you already have it? I lie.
Yeah, you don't.
I say, no, I don't already have this. No.
They don't have to know that at all.
I'm going
to
go home and enjoy it. I know I'm going to enjoy it because I already have it.
There you go. I have, and I'm sure I've told this on the podcast before, I have two very notable interests in role-playing games and in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And a Secret Santa gift more than a handful of times has been someone tracking down a copy of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles role-playing game from the 80s. And it's always very nice because it's not... like in print, you can't just go on Amazon. You have to like get it from eBay, right? So it's always very nice, and it's always the same crowd. It was always the same crowd at the same office Secret Santa watching me get and going, "Oh, this is awesome!"
And you had to do the performance.
Oh,
cool.
Honestly, though, I have 3 copies of that game now. I love having 3 copies of that game. That is not at all ironic.
Different locations.
That's it.
Keep them in different locations for safety reasons.
That's it. I have 3 copies. They're actually all in fantastic condition. And it's an awful role-playing game that I'll never play, but I love having it. It's a truly terrible, unplayable game. So it's a small and subdued party with the noticeable absence of Jonathan. Lois gives Clark...
Happy birthday, your dad's dead.
Lois gives Clark a diary. It's a Nietzsche diary. Did we need two things that were red and blue?
Is this supposed to be like start writing because you're going to be a reporter? Is that also in the mix? Or
oh, that's interesting. That's lame, but it's interesting. That would suck if they did that.
That's, you know what? That's too much. No, that's too much work for a Nietzsche moment. They usually make them real easy to get.
Right. That said, prop department had to make this because it's a red leather with like blue, the outside pages are blue. The prop department had to make this, and they already made the cake. Two Nietzsche things in one scene is a lot, Smallville. We fucking get it. You're the ones now adamantly making sure this isn't a Superman show. Why? When you got two fucking Nietzsche moments in one fucking scene. Okay, Lois gives Clark a diary. Martha gives him a card that Jonathan bought him before his death. Inside are a pair of baseball tickets. Those are bought, like, quite a while in advance, huh? He died, like, a while ago.
Here's my question. Was it even baseball season when he bought those tickets?
Yeah, right? Like, that could...
Didn't he die in, like, January? Was the schedule released yet?
Right.
Before, like, spring training?
What if they weren't fucking... How did you... Jonathan? How'd you get to... And then also, so you got the tickets, and then you filled out the... It's his 19th birthday. It's not like it's his 21st birthday. You know? Like...
Also... Did you notice the bit that the game was in Milwaukee?
I also noticed the game was in Milwaukee. Why was the game in Milwaukee?
Why couldn't the game just be in Metropolis?
Why not yet?
Still a 3-hour drive.
Why was it in Milwaukee? Why wasn't it just the fucking Metropolis baseball guys?
Was he going to fly? Was Johnny K going to fly them up there? Or just be like, Clark, can you just put me on your back and let's go on a little trip to Milwaukee? If you're going to go on a trip to see a baseball game, why are you going to fucking Milwaukee?
The famous baseball city.
I've never been
to Milwaukee.
I'm sure it's a lovely place.
I'm sure. No, it's probably a piece of shit. Don't fucking humor the Milwaukee listeners. You fucking know what you did. You know what you did.
Like, Metropolis is supposed to be this big city. If someone in LA got Lakers tickets and they were like, we're going to go somewhere else to watch the game, no one's coming up to Portland.
Yeah,
no one's going like, we're going to go see them. Hey, you see the Blazers and the Lakers play up in Portland.
Also,
you're going to go to another cool city. I don't know.
Also... Baseball? They were football guys.
Yeah, but the football season, he wouldn't line up with his birthday.
I guess
he wouldn't be able to buy the tickets.
I guess so, but it was still just like, oh, you know your dad in baseball. Do we? He was a football guy.
he's never mentioned it before. Yeah.
Now, I know most like sports people also like a wide range of sports. They're not just their one fucking thing. But also, I haven't seen it in 5 years of this fucking show. I don't think he's mentioned baseball one time.
Football.
They got a basketball hoop outside, but I ain't seen that man throw a baseball. I ain't seen Clark with a bat. Something's fishy here.
I also like how the writers were like, oh, I don't want to come up with a present from Chloe. So just have her say she can't afford one.
Yeah, right.
IOUs, something about IOUs. Although she could have, I was like, is she going to give him a pamphlet for Nexium? Just a little brochure as a gift?
It's a self-help group. It's
here's a gift card for one free
sex branding.
I was going to say seminar.
No.
That's great.
No. Okay, so insider pair baseball takes later, Clark goes to the cemetery to thank Jonathan for the tickets and is shocked to see a vision of Jonathan standing next to him because John Schneider is still on the payroll.
He's really good in that scene and actually in the whole episode. John Schneider's bringing it.
Yes, he is. Why? Why? Oh, right. He died on the 100th. They killed him on the 100th episode. That's why. But like, why not kill him here? Especially since like you got to keep putting him in episodes because he's still getting paid.
I think it was because they were looking for a big thing to do on the 100th. I think that was just it. It was like, we're going to do something big on the 100th episode.
Yeah, and I guess that's all it is. But it's weird to still have the guy on the payroll. So it's like, well, we got to throw him into a couple more, I guess. I guess Milton spoiler alert, but Milton Fine's going to be fucking Jonathan for a while.
Yeah, Milton Fine, and we're going to have fucking videos of him that they'll find, and he'll be meet him in the fucking Flatliners episode.
Because he's still in the main credits for this whole rest of the time, which I'm sure worked out great for him. I'm sure because he got paid every single episode. I'm sure still. Okay, so Jonathan tells him that he must kill Lionel Luther to save the world. I have a question, but we'll talk about it later.
I have a nitpick.
Okay.
I feel like Clark would be able to tell the difference between a ghost and Brainiac.
I agree.
He would be a little inquisitive. If you saw a ghost, wouldn't you be like, hey, are you really a ghost? Or are you one of the weird supernatural things that happens here all the fucking time?
Oh, every fucking week, you might say.
Right, yeah. I have x-ray vision. Maybe see what's going on here.
Yeah, right. You didn't x-ray vision ghost just to see anyway?
Right, even Hamlet was like a little skeptical.
The next morning, Clark tells Martha what he saw. But she says that grief can play tricks on the mind. Martha talks about how, like, I wake up and I think he's there. And like, Martha, that's different than I had a full conversation with my dad in a graveyard. And you know it.
Yeah. Also, again, we're in Smallville, Martha. Weird shit's going on. We've also seen ghosts before, you know, like.
And my sad 19-year-old was like, Dad said I have to kill your not boyfriend. That'd maybe be a little concerning.
Right, yeah, that's like,
Oh, boy.
Whoops.
So Clark admits that he's seen Jonathan's ghost before and speculates what Lionel might be up to. Clark goes to the Daily Planet to tell Chloe about the vision. He is suspicious of Lionel and mentions that Lionel was the first to help Martha when she was being blackmailed. Chloe is skeptical, but agrees to help him investigate Lionel. They break into Lionel's office and search his calendar, where they find two future appointments. One is with a reporter, and the other is due to take place at the Pentagon to discuss the weapon, quote-unquote. Clark thinks Lionel plans to use him as a weapon. Pretty down the middle. I don't have a ton to add. I don't know about you.
Chloe actually makes a Hamlet reference.
I wondered if that's what that was. I didn't.
Yeah, hand me a cloak and call me Horatio. Right, is what she says.
Right. I figured that was maybe Hamlet. You know, the fucking ghost one. I didn't know for sure though, because I'm not a fucking dweeb. I don't do fucking homework all the goddamn time, fucking reading Shakespeare like some fucking dork. You ever read a book? Fucking boring, dude.
Wow, weird take from Brian. Books suck.
This is my new take. Boo, books. Boo.
I mean, in fairness to William Shakespeare, they're plays. They're not books. So, like, they're meant to be performed.
An English class was thrown on my desk as a book. I've never actually seen Hamlet.
That is, I think that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons people fucking hate Shakespeare.
Yeah.
It's because that's how they're taught it. And it's like,
this is not the way to do that. It's also, and like, I guess we do have to study Shakespeare, right? It is the Michael Bay of drama, if you will. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. But there is something to write of just showing a bunch of like tired high school students like, look at all these old puns, huh? Wordplay based on a bunch of cultural assumptions you have no fucking clue about. It's pretty funny, right?
Well, yeah, it's like, it's tough to come to a high schooler with this. It was the influence for everything that you like, and it's like, okay, I don't fucking care. In your high school, like, I don't give a shit, like, whatever.
Right
now, as an adult, you can appreciate it and be like, oh, this, look at this, this is
right.
This is setting the groundwork for so many other things.
A million percent.
High schooler, it's like fucking snore.
It's, yeah. I like performatively very much liked it more than I ever actually did. You know what I mean? Because I was, to be clear, a huge dweeb.
When we read Hamlet, it was senior year, and I was old enough to appreciate it. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And it's a revenge story, so that helped.
I don't know. Maybe we did do Hamlet. I remember doing Julius Caesar.
That one's kind of boring.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool. I was a freshman, but also I was being a little performative about it, about thinking it was cool.
I mean, there is an assassination, so that's fine.
Right, right. I don't remember what it, maybe we did do Hamlet. Fuck, I don't know. Okay, Lionel arrives in Lex's library and questions his frequent trips to Honduras. Lex brushes off his question, even as Lionel tries to warn him that Milton Fine is involved in something much more dangerous than Lex realizes. Lex is unconcerned and leaves Lionel alone. Suddenly, Lionel goes into a catatonic state and begins scribbling Kryptonian symbols furiously. Love a Lex Lionel scene. Well, as I was kind of saying before, we've seen higher highs on the Lex Lionel stuff, but it's still good. It's still good.
Sure. Yeah. It's like when you catch a really good band on tour and it's like they just played the previous night. So it's like, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine, but they didn't, like, blow the doors off the place or anything.
Right, right. Ultimately...
Did you feel like...
Sorry, go ahead. Yours is probably more interesting.
I was going to say, did you feel like we missed a step with this Milton Fine storyline? Like, I feel like this episode was like, hey, by the way, I've been creating this vaccine for him this whole
time. Yeah. Did
we really talk about that before? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's... I feel like it's a little, like... Oh, kind of wish we thought of this a little while ago. Oh, it's kind of, we'd have to go back and change some shit. But, like, we need some stakes here. So, okay.
Yeah. This is definitely the, let's gear up for the finale. Let's just do some exposition dumps.
Right.
A well-disguised in a Lex Lionel, tit for tat.
Right. And I wonder if maybe they intended to introduce more and then there just wasn't fucking time. It's 42 minutes, you know, you gotta keep it moving. Lois runs into Lana.
It's like the opposite of the Stone storyline, because the Stone storyline, they just brought up every single fucking episode in that season, even though nothing was happening.
Oh, God.
Like, and this one, it's like Milton Fine will pop up every, like, five episodes and
right,
be like...
Right, it's,
oh, by the way, this, you know, here we go.
Right, and I don't... It's, you're right, it's opposite Stones. Because, yeah, there was a dedicated 6 minutes, no matter fucking what.
Right.
The fucking Stones.
Stones.
They are that bad. That's like the ones even like the creators are like, man, that was bad. It's that fucking bad, dude.
Yeah, and it came in our favorite season, maybe?
I know, and so they just blew it.
Imagine how good it would have been without the stuff.
Oh. Lois runs into Lana at the Talon and guesses that she is buying coffee for Lex. Lana tries to deny it, but Lois offers an ear. Lana and Lois wind up having a 3-hour conversation on the status of her and Lex's relationship.
Bechdel fail.
Yep. There's a bit here of Lois calls Lex Lana's boyfriend, and Lana goes, "He's not my boyfriend." And it's just the biggest. Lois is the same. Sure, that we all do.
Yeah.
Sure, if that word no longer means the things it thinks we think it means. Okay. That's cute. Okay. Later, Lana meets Lex at the Luther Mansion, and Lex admits that he is involved in something top secret and dangerous, but he trusts her. He takes her to his laboratory and explains that he has been collecting deadly viruses to develop a super vaccine to protect a person from any disease. Lex could have stopped COVID. Wouldn't have been an issue.
There's a lot of vaccine talk in this episode. A
lot of vaccine talk.
And next episode. I think this is the one where Milton Fiennes says the words, it's a vaccine. What harm could it do? And I was just like, I just feel just so much.
2006. You were in 2006. The vaccines were just the thing that made polio go away.
I just like that Milton Fiennes is like, it's a ridiculous thing to be skeptical about a vaccine.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, half of America just said, hold my beer.
Yeah,
sir.
Right. Which, to be fair, he's an evil alien. And his plan, I guess we find out his plan this episode, yeah? Or is that next episode?
Mm-hmm.
But he wants the only one. He's going to take the only vaccine.
But it's not even a vaccine, Brian.
Oh, right.
Spoiling next week. We're spoiling.
Got it. I watched both episodes together. I have no fucking clue. I was playing Duke.
Oh, wait.
Nukem.
No, that's later this.
That's
yeah,
what I
me
think.
Too. We watched them back to back. Yeah. It's later this one.
Okay. He and Fine believe that the black ship is the first of many, and the vaccine could save mankind from potential invaders, as long as the invaders are germs and not laser beams. We're super strong guys. Okay. However, he admits he is suspicious of Fine. He shows Lana satellite photographs of Fine in Honduras near another black ship. A photograph taken a fraction of a second later shows Fine has disappeared. Lex and Lana speculate that Fine might be an alien too. Lana tells him that when Lionel was in a trance, he told her of the alien's weakness.
I wrote down for that scene, I hate Lexana.
It's bad, man.
I hate them, and the further we get into it, the more I hate them.
I've officially surrendered to it, I think.
I'm sure that'll come. That'll come for me too. I just hate their dynamic so much. I was over Clark and Lana a long time ago. I think
right.
We both were.
Yeah.
But that didn't mean let's bring in Lex and Lana.
It's the heat. The heat was gone from Clark and Lana, right? It had become room temperature. Yeah. It's Lex and Lana is ice cold. this is
it's just a creepy.
It just
dynamic.
Feels creepy. I just don't like it.
Even take the age thing out of it. Take it out of it. I still get weirded out by the dynamic and don't like it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a fundamental power imbalance here.
They are very toxic with each other.
Yes.
It feels gross.
Yes.
It feels gross. It's like a couple that is like being too intimate in front of you.
Yeah. And
arguing or having, I don't know, you're just like, you see a window into their relationship that you didn't want to see. And you're right. Like, hey, can you guys go talk somewhere else? Because I don't want to hear this.
Now, surely there's an element that someone can claim that that's a little bit intentional, right? Of like, you're not supposed to feel like great about this, but
certainly
sure wish it was more compelling on my television. It would be a lot more compelling if they were like kind of sexy together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they are not at all.
I think they both annoy me to when they're together. Separately, they don't, but they annoy me.
Good point. Good point. Martha arrives home one evening to find a voice message from Lionel. As she is listening, she sees a vision of Jonathan in the living room. He asks her if she is in a relationship with Lionel, but Martha denies this and tells him how much she misses him. Jonathan tells Martha that Lionel is dangerous and must be eliminated, and alludes to Lionel being responsible for his own death, as in Jonathan's death. Martha is shocked, but when she presses for more details, the apparition disappears. Jonathan appears outside the porch, and it is revealed that it is in fact Fine, who is posing as Jonathan. Is there something I missed? You tell me Fine can't go, like, kill Lionel Luthor? Is there a reason he can't? He's got all Clark's powers. And he's a robot. Yeah. He's a fucking Terminator. Why do you need Clark to fucking do it? Is that addressed?
No, I don't think so. That's a great question. I didn't even think about that. Because it's not like next episode, spoiler alert, where he has to use a special knife to whatever with Lex. You could just, Fine could just go snap Lionel's neck, right?
I literally don't see why not. He wouldn't even see it coming. Tool drop. Done. Those are my snapping neck noises.
If a neck made that sound when I broke it, I would be concerned.
You wouldn't have a lot of concerns. You would just broke a neck. So you have a lot of concerns now, brother, because you just committed murder. Gotcha. Martha tells Clark what Jonathan told her, and Clark tells Martha how he thinks Lionel is going to try to use him as a weapon. Martha says Jonathan also suggested that Lionel had something to do with his death. Love that paragraph that just reiterates the other paragraph.
I like that Martha insinuate, or she says, like, do you think Lionel would tell Lex or something like that? And I love that Clark immediately shuts that down. He's like, absolutely, there's zero chance Lionel would tell Lex.
Nah.
Like, even if Lionel has evil intent, he's not sharing information with Lex.
Hates, you know what I mean? Right. All right. No, Lionel simply, even, you're right, even if we're helpful, Lionel simply gets off too much on being withholding.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yep. He needs to be holding all the cards.
Yes. That's not the game, Lionel. All the cards, me. Other people have to have cards to play the game. No. Uno. No. Fine meets Lex at the mansion and tells him that he knows he's being kept out of the loop on Project Mercury. Lex tells him he knows that Fine is not in the CIA. Lex says he won't give Fine the vaccine while he's unsure of Fine's motives. He opens a lead box to see if Fine has a meteor rock vulnerability. Fine is nonplussed and simply informs him that he is not Kryptonian, but he was made by them. He forms a T2 blade with his arm, holds it up to Lex's throat, demanding that Lex turn over the vaccine.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That do be how it happened. Chloe tells Clark that she researched Jonathan's cell phone records and that Jonathan and Lionel were in communication for weeks before his death, the last call coming an hour before he died. Clark realizes that Lionel was present the night he died and tells Lionel to meet him at the barn. Lionel tries to explain his and Jonathan's communication, but Clark is convinced that Lionel killed Jonathan in an attempt to control Clark into becoming a weapon. Wiki, you can... We appreciate the detail. It's our whole show. Oh, boy.
It's not the wiki's fault if the show keeps reiterating.
I guess you're right. It is in fact what happens. Okay, he is too emotional to listen to Lionel's explanation and beats Lionel up as Jonathan once again appears at his side, encouraging him to kill Lionel. Lionel counters that Jonathan would never want Clark to kill anyone. Clark gains some clarity, and you couldn't put that together yourself? You needed fucking Lionel Luther to tell you that, brother? Clark gains some clarity and blasts the vision of Jonathan away with his heat vision. They fight, and when Jonathan gets the upper hand, Lionel approaches in a trance. He touches Jonathan, and the apparition morphs back into Fine and then disappears. Lionel comes out of his trance, not knowing what just happened, and Clark looks on in confusion.
Question.
Yes.
This is sticky. Is that memory loss?
Because
someone else is channeling him.
Good question. Why not? Sure.
I mean, yeah, I do feel like we counted it before when people enter other people's bodies.
I'm not too conflicted on this one. I'd give it. I think there's precedent.
Okay. Because, like, we haven't been keeping track every time he's been in a trance, but he specifically does say, like, what happened?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Right. Fuck. That's a good point. Do we just now have, there now precedent that we have to keep track of every trance? I don't want to keep track of every time he's in a trance.
No. We're not going to do that. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay. Lionel takes Clark to his office, and Clark tells him that Fine is not a Kryptonian and that he's already been destroyed twice. Clark asks Lionel how
Hold on.
Yes.
This is amazing.
I don't remember.
They're in the barn in Metropolis. In the barn in Smallville with that scene with Fine.
Right.
Then the next scene with them, they're talking about things that they would definitely have talked about right after that happened in his office in Metropolis.
3 hours.
Let's continue this conversation 3 hours away from here.
Did you get into a car?
Did you get on the train?
Just sit in silence? Like, what's going on in 2006?
This has to be a piggyback situation where Clark's like, hop on.
Right.
Just get on. We'll talk about it.
Right.
Wouldn't the barn be the best place to have the conversation?
You could still keep talking here, right? You don't have to go all the way to Lionel's office. It's like, are they just like in a car and like, it's 2006. I'm trying to look. I don't know. You heard of Barack Obama? I don't know. People say he's got a chance, but I don't know.
He gave a really great speech at that convention.
Everyone says, I don't know, president, maybe someday.
Yeah, like they're just driving silently in the car.
Clark occasionally.
Not yet.
Clark occasionally. Yeah, he was like, No.
Lionel's like got his opera music or whatever the fuck he's listening to.
Clark can't get a word in because every, I don't know, opera moment, Lionel's just like, this is my shit. This is my shit. Lionel takes Clark to his office, and Clark tells him that Fine is not a Kryptonian and that he's already been destroyed twice. Clark asks Lionel how he was able to destroy him. Lionel doesn't know for sure, but reveals an entire closet full of papers covered in Kryptonian symbols that he has written himself. He says that whatever voice he is channeling must be meant for Clark. They give him a notebook full of Kryptonian notes to Chloe, who agrees to try and decipher them. Oh, great. Cool.
Right. They bring these, the Kryptonian symbols. Lionel, Clark, and Chloe are in the middle of the Daily Planet bullpen having this conversation, not whispering, about all this shit that's going on. Like, for a really secretive guy, you're just having this conversation willy-nilly, bud.
And then just hand them to the 19-year-old. Like, all right, figure out this alien language.
Like, she's like, yeah, they figured out Egyptian hieroglyphics by recognizing patterns. I'll scan them and see if the computer.
Oh, if only fucking Christopher Reeve's character had thought of that, I guess.
Chloe apparently is Robert Langdon. Da Vinci Code reference. Yeah,
my wife has described Robert Langdon as Jack Reacher for cucks, and that is a phenomenal description.
It's probably difficult for anyone listening who wasn't alive or like old enough at the time to understand how much of a fucking phenomenon those stupid books
stupid
were.
Fucking books. And like, I read the Da Vinci Code like everybody else. I had a good time reading it. I think I even liked the movie enough at the time. They're so fucking dumb, guys. They're so fucking dumb, and they were so popular.
But like, if I made that joke circa 2008 or whatever, everyone would have got the reference.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
If I said Robert Langdon, people would be like, oh, topical. I know exactly who that is. I just read that book.
That's the guy from that book. That we all like, except for the people who are real mad at it.
They made that into a movie when it was like all popular. And then they did Angels and Demons like a year or two later. And it was, you know, kind of still in the consciousness. And then like several years after that, they made the third one. And everyone's like, stop. No, stop it. Just stop.
It's,
we're done.
So
all done with this.
Emily has affection for these books, and like much less so the movies. So Emily's got some. We had just started dating, like we were not dating long when that third one came out. And she's like, I have a lot of affection for them. I want to go see this? Do you want to go? And like we were still like very early on. Like I would have done it. Like I don't want to fucking see that. I don't want to do that at all. That's no, no, thank you. I had no idea they made one of those. I'm generally on the ball with like movies and stuff, and I have no idea what the
just
fuck.
Just watching the trailer for that third one, I was like, ooh.
Why?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
Didn't they make a TV show recently of it?
They did. I don't think it made it past its first season. It was Dan Trachtenberg who did that second Cloverfield movie, which is very good. He also did Prey, which is pretty good. But I watched the pilot. It was not for me. My wife watched the rest. And she was...
Oh, she did.
Was,
she stuck it out.
She was a tepid enjoyer of it. She had it on while she was, like, working and stuff. And I don't think she... I would say she didn't hate it.
Did she hate it less than the movies?
I don't know. I don't... We didn't have extensive conversations about the Robert Langdon, Dan Brown.
Oh, you know, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Since she missed an episode this season.
Yeah, we got to make her
because she was busy being a mom. Did she owe us two next season?
She owes us two next season. She owes us two next season. She wants to do a Batman, but that doesn't count as she's got to do two fucking Smallville. She can't just come do a Batman. That does not get credited to her account. She is in debt to this podcast.
Does she have a Batman that in mind?
No, she's going to think about it.
I mean, it's my gut tells me she wants to be on Batman and Robin. I mean, who doesn't want to be on Batman and Robin?
Who doesn't want to be on Batman and Robin? Maybe it's we like a lot of them. So, I don't quite know which one she's going to pick. There's a Lego Batman is a strong contender.
I'm back. Should we just take a flyer and reach out to Arnold Schwarzenegger, see if he wants to be on the Batman and Robin podcast? He's the only one who hasn't really talked about that movie.
I think we could do it. I think
that would launch us into the stratosphere. If we got Arnold for the Batman and Robin.
If we got Arnold for the Batman and Robin, I don't think there would be another episode. I think we peaked. We peaked as people.
Right, we just kill ourselves afterwards.
Just, and it was like, all right, well, Arnold, hey, this was a pleasure. We'll let you know when it's out. All right, anyway, gotta go die.
What was your motivation for this scene, Arnold? Well, I was really cold and angry at Batman.
Your Arnold's actually pretty good. So I think you need to do the whole podcast as Arnold. Okay.
Oh.
God, I just want to get through this episode.
yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Voices meant for Clark. They give Chloe the notebook. Lionel thinks the virus is just part of whatever Fine is trying to accomplish. Chloe admits that Lana probably knows something about it. Lana and Lois arrive at her dorm room to find Clark rifling through Lana's things. She has several pictures of the black ship. Lois exits quickly, and Lana is extremely angry at Clark. He tries to tell her... What's that?
Clark. You have super speed. You have super hearing.
Motherfucker, did you want to get busted?
How does anyone ever catch you off guard?
Seriously.
I don't understand. And Chloe lives with her. Couldn't Chloe go look through the shit?
This would right. This would never happen to Batman, and he doesn't have fucking powers.
No, they would be walking in, and they'd be like, oh, what's that? And the window is open.
Right, like, right. That's it. Batman never gets caught like a bitch. This is why we have to do a whole season of fucking Batman shows now, because of this kind of shit, Clark. Because we're fucking sick of this shit, Clark. Okay, she has several pictures of the black ship. Lana's angry at Clark. He tries to tell her that he is worried that Lex is involved in something very dangerous and urges him to tell her to tell him where the lab is. This is an okay scene. Once again, we've kind of seen better. There's Kristen Crook is doing good work. Tom's doing good work. That said, I can't say it's that. It's nice to see them actually mad at one another. Or
yes,
Lana actually finally being like, actually, you kind of suck.
Yeah, fuck you.
You were a bad really boyfriend.
There's some really good Lana and Lex fuck yous to Clark in the finale.
Yes.
Where they just really let him know.
I think this episode's got a really good one, too, at the end with Lex.
Yeah.
Okay, Lex confronts Fine at the lab because he believes Fine is going to unleash the deadly virus onto the population. However, Fine states he only needs one dose. He merges the virus with his own makeup and injects Lex. Lex collapses and Fine destroys the lab. Clark arrives and sees Lex on the floor, but he speeds away after Fine. Lex has his doctor check him out, and the doctor claims that Lex is healthier than he's ever been. Clark arrives.
I love how I'm not concerned this doctor.
Yeah.
He's like, all the vitals are fine. Like, he just got injected with a weird vaccine. The doctor wouldn't be like, let's wait. Let's check back in a few days.
Right.
Let's monitor.
Right. He's like, no, you're
fine. Yeah. He got a doctor from Smallville Medical.
Well, right. Because so he's like, injected into your body? No. Things come out of the body, not in.
I'll check the manual, but that doesn't sound right.
That sounds scary. A shot? No, thank you. Yuck.
I don't do needles.
I don't do needles. Your vitals are fine. I gotta go. So Lex is healthier than he's ever been. Clark arrives and tells him that he should have listened to Lionel. Lex defends his actions, saying the vaccine will help people. He admits he doesn't know where Fine is, but tells Clark that he crossed the line by going through Lana's things. Lex and Clark argue, and Lex points out that Clark lost Lana by himself. It's a good scene.
It is very good. Yeah.
Lex, Michael Rosenbaum's doing good work here. A little threat, vaguely threatening.
He probably wouldn't be making that threat if he knew that Clark had those powers.
Right.
Hey, man, I know you could kill me with your thumb, but don't let me find you sneaking around this apartment anymore.
Lex could do some shit. Maybe not physically to Clark, but Clark could make some bad things happen.
No, for sure.
Or Lex can make some bad things happen is what I meant to say. Who cares? Lionel arrives at the Kent farm and admits to Martha that he did indeed talk to Jonathan the night he died to tell him that he knew Clark's secret. Lionel claims that Jonathan was so angry he didn't let him explain. Martha does not reply, and Lionel leaves, saying that at least he was honest.
Yeah, he does a really good apology, and then he ruins it by being like, I just want you to remember, at least I was honest. And then being like, maybe you'll forgive me in time.
Huh?
It's like, shut up, just apologize
Stop.
And go.
Stop.
Apologize and leave.
Stop. Time to go. It's time to go. Lana visits Lex and admits that things were awkward between them. She suggests that they stop discussing Clark. She asks him why Fine ordered the vaccine destroyed. Lex notices a mark where he was injected. He then cuts his finger on a corkscrew and is shocked to see it heal instantly. Wolverine. If they just made Lex Wolverine for a couple of episodes, I think that'd be a lot of fun. Just literally Wolverine.
Yeah, I mean...
Wolverine's Canadian.
I do. In this scene, I can't remember the context. Lana was saying something about Clark. And Lex says, Clark's specialty is barging in where he's not wanted and making you feel like you did something wrong. And I'm like, yes, that is a fair thing to say. But his specialty is also barging in and saving you both literally hundreds of times.
Yes.
So, come on.
Okay, Lois finds Clark brooding alone in his loft, and he admits that he is upset that Lex and Lana are forming a relationship. Lois tries to console him, suggesting that he gives Lana some space. She speculates that maybe Lana might not be the one that's meant for Clark, after all. Huh?
It's all Nietzsche scene. This whole yes. scene is a Nietzsche scene.
Clark appreciates her advice, but they are interrupted by Chloe. Lois exits, and Chloe comments that Clark handled the birthday party very well. Clark admits he really missed his dad, and Chloe reminds him that Jonathan gave him many more valuable gifts in Clark's upbringing. She changes the subject and shows him a repeating pattern in Kryptonian symbols. Clark translates it to read, Zod is coming.
Lois and Clark are the anti-Lana and Lex.
Yes.
The opposite. Give me more.
Give me more. Give me more. This is good. I'll take more. They have actual kind of chemistry.
Yes.
Okay. Looking here for anything interesting.
Did you notice that there's a lot of night episodes this season?
That's interesting. I don't know if it's just to give it like a darker vibe.
Or is it like a scheduling or a budget or something? It's dark. It just seems dark a lot on the show.
Night is harder than day, right?
Sets. Right. Most of it is sets, too.
Yeah.
So maybe it is just let's mix it up.
Yeah, interesting. Let's see. Okay, this is the final episode that features Clark, Chloe, Lex, Lana, Lois, Martha, Lionel, and Jonathan together in an episode.
Oh.
I assume Jonathan's the missing piece there.
Yeah.
The birthday banner and cake are made up of the Superman colors, so is the journal. Okay, Milton Fine speculates that the custom of toasting a drink originated from a host sharing his potentially poisoned beverage with his fellow diners. Other originators of the custom involve the host sampling the beverage, then raising his glass. Blah, fucking boring. Boring, boring, boring. Let's see. According to this episode, May 3rd is Clark's birthday. And as the spirit of Jonathan, Brainiac is like an apparition and disappears before Clark and Martha's eyes without a trace. But when he blitzes away from the farmhouse, the usual sound effect can be heard. The sound effect, the speedy sound effect is for our benefit. I don't think that's necessarily diegetic. You know what I mean?
You don't think that's happening. Right. Right. Sometimes it seems like it's supposed to be, and sometimes it's not.
Interesting. I don't know. That is, you know what? I was annoyed. No, Wiki's right. That's interesting.
if something drove past you really fast, you would hear that.
That's true. That's true. Sound. Maybe because it was just such a short distance, it wasn't as big of a deal.
Yeah.
Let's see. That's it. That's all for this one. It's a good episode. Good's a strong word.
It's a good episode of the show, a bad episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think we've told the people, unless you did while I was gone, we are dealing with some serious technical difficulties this episode.
Man.
So if it seems off, it's because it is.
Yeah.
And we're struggling through it.
This was just fine enough to get through it.
Yeah. If it's like this next week, we will not be recording.
No, we'll have to figure something out here. I'll be moving soon, so it's going to be a whole new situation anyway, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. So with that said, let's get the fuck out of here. Hey, this is our Smallville Recap Podcast. Thank you for listening. We got, hey, there are pages, and on those pages, there are places where you can do like little ratings and reviews. Those are nice. Maybe don't talk about all the technical difficulties we've been experiencing lately.
Right. Yeah. Maybe don't review this specific episode.
That would actually be great. Actually, you know what? This week, no stars, no reviews, please. we do have a link to all of our other stuff in the description, including a Patreon, if you were so inclined. Zach, do you have a question for the Smallville gods?
Is this our worst episode?
That was the wrong button. I hit the wrong button. Just
perfect.
As a...
That answers the question.
That answers the question.
Answers the question.
Good night, everybody. Yeah!